following podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California. Welcome to Mamma Mia. I'm your host, DJ Stone, and together we'll be dissecting and analyzing the rise of Italian rock band Måneskin. All right, hello friends. Welcome back to episode 2. Today we will be talking about Måneskin's second album, and in a broader context, pretty much the entire year of 2018, especially towards the end part of it. So we left off last time talking about Chosen and the beginning of Måneskin, yada yada. Now we're going to move into the second part in their career. Starts with their second album, I Ballo della Vita, and backing up a little bit, beginning of 2018, they started a tour. The tour started roughly around February, and they originally had 35 dates for the tour, all in Europe, and they were playing gigs that were about 300 to 400 people, so they were relatively big. And the tour promoter, Clemente Zard, who is a prominent concert promoter in Italy, told them that they could probably sell out or, you know, have a lot of people buy tickets for bigger capacity venues, and kind of recommended that to them, especially in countries like Italy, or I'm pretty sure they were popular in Poland and countries in Europe they were, you know, had a bigger fan base in. He was like, you could easily play bigger venues, but they decided not to because they wanted to have that experience of kind of playing smaller venues that they know they could sell and then moving up bigger and bigger, which actually I feel like I've seen a lot of that. The first one that comes to mind is like Olivia Rodrigo. She was very, very famous right off the bat, but chose to play smaller venues for her first tour just because she didn't want to get overwhelmed playing big shows first time, you know, on the road. That's kind of a lot. So Måneskin did a very similar thing, which I think is smart. I feel like if I was in their spot, I would have done the same thing. So they're on tour. They tour for the majority of the year. And it was 70 dates with over 140,000 tickets sold overall over the 70 dates. Their first single for the album was released March 23rd of 2018, which is titled, also, my Italian's not that good. I'm kind of good at it, but pronunciation-wise, you're going to have to bear with me a little bit. I'm trying my best. Morio da Re, which was successful, but not as successful as the second single, which came out a few months later, September 28th of 2018, Torna Casa, which was their first single to become a hit on the charts in their own country, in Italy. So pretty big deal for them. That song is one of their most coveted songs. It's still really popular today among their fans and stuff. The success of Torna Casa and probably their tour before were both influential factors in how well their album did when it was finally released 2 months after the single, October 26th of 2018. It peaked at number one on the Italian charts. It also charted in other countries, not as high, but it was on the charts, top 100s, top 20s. And for the European music charts in general, it reached the top 20, and it went triple platinum in Italy by the Federation of Italian Music. With the success of their single and their album, they were kind of like rightfully on a high. Like it made them European stars. They went from Italian stars to European stars. And I think that's why they continued their tour a little bit after that. Interesting enough, on the same day they released their album, they also released a documentary movie called This Is Måneskin that went over the process of making that album. I'm pretty sure it starts right around like beginning of 2018. It might even go a little bit into 2017. And it covers their daily lives, the process of writing, composition of the songs, you know, tour of their studio. During the documentary, something that I thought was interesting is that they show really like juvenile parts of their life. Like they show Thomas studying for one of his like big tests that he has to go back to Rome to take. I think it's like a graduation test or one of the tests he needs to take to graduate. And he also is studying for his driver's license. And so it's like when you are watching that movie, it kind of like humanizes them in a way and also makes you realize that how young they still are. There's other things. I mean, they talk about like relationship problems and stuff like that. It humbles them in a way. And it's just very real. And it's all in Italian. So, like, when I watched it, I watched it with English subtitles, so I probably didn't even get, like, half of it. But still an interesting watch. They have, again, this is future stuff, but they currently still make little tour documentaries, but instead of movies, they make, like, series on YouTube. So they'll do, like, 4 or 5-ish videos of, like, tour experiences, and they post them on YouTube for, like, 15 to 20-minute videos, which are pretty entertaining. I mean, they're not as, like, raw because it's, like, tour stuff, so it's more, like, fun and, you know, humorous and that kind of stuff, but it still is interesting to get, like, a look behind it. So let's dive into more of, like, the album itself. It is 12 songs. It's about 34 minutes long. 34 minutes, 16 seconds, to be very exact. And 7 of the songs are in Italian, 5 are in English. This album kind of was the first time they had their own sound completely. There's not a single cover song on this album. It's all stuff they wrote. Damiano David wrote 11 out of the 12 songs. The only song he didn't write was Immortali, which was a collab song with Vegas Jonas. So all of the songs that are just Måneskin songs were written in part, if not entirely, by Damiano or by Måneskin as a collective, which I know singer-songwriters are popular and there's a lot of them in every genre, but it's cool when an artist is credited with that because it kind of makes the songs feel more real and more personal, even if they are kind of fictional stories or not based off of real tangible life events. And so I feel like it's easier for the artist to convey those feelings when it's emotions that they're drawing from other experiences into the song. You can still be genuine if it's a song that you're getting from somebody else, but you don't know the exact intention of the song when it's written. So it kind of adds a layer to the song when you know that. And what's interesting about this album is that it is classified as a funk pop or a pop rock album, which makes sense when you listen to it because it very much has those undertones. Besides the fact that it's all real instruments, it's very much a pop album, which they kind of do a full 180 with their next album. But at this point in time, they very much were pop. And I think part of that, too, is because that was more popular and that was more of what they were exposed to. So they still had rock influences. They've mentioned Metallica, Led Zeppelin, but it still was, again, it's very, very pop rocky. The translation of the album name, I Ballo della Vita, is The Dance of Life. And they've said they chose this album because a lot of the songs in it and just the concept behind the album was to celebrate their youth and their freedom while also digging deeper into concepts that affected them as they're growing up out of their teenage years and into their young 20s and things they've experienced, you know, feelings, that kind of thing. So the album title, I feel like, is very fitting for the songs in the album, not only the happy songs, because there's a lot of upbeat music, but at least like half or more kind of meaningful songs. And so I feel like there's a double meaning to the title, because the dance of life as in the ups and downs of life. And this album is very much kind of a concept album. There's almost like a plot to a lot of the songs. Not all of them. A lot of them don't connect, but there's a central storyline through at least 5 of the songs have a theme surrounding this fictional character named Marlena, which they've said is not a real person. It is a woman who represents beauty, and she very much is just her own person. It's a strong, independent woman with a lot of attitude who's making her own choices in life, but also struggling, and also has this very real melancholy side to her that the male perspective through the songs is trying to figure out and trying to relate to and trying to keep in his life. Damiano David has said in interviews that the original idea behind her was having an object to be the personification of the fear of being alone or the fear of not being able to be your true self completely, which they also have talked about a lot in their growth as artists and people and kind of breaking societal norms and that kind of stuff. So the character of Marlena really kind of started that whole journey for them. At least it started the journey publicly. The male perspective of the songs kind of is supposed to represent this father or brother or husband companion-like figure to Marlena who wants to provide her with security and support, yet keeps kind of wants her to experience these uncomfortable and tough situations in order to motivate her to better herself instead of running away and staying how she is. I don't think this is confirmed, but the cover of the album is the bottom half of a woman's face. And so to add to the kind of lore of the album, it is speculated that's supposed to be Marlena. Diving into individual songs, I'm going to start doing this more on all of the episodes that are surrounding albums. My favorite song, I should say, the first song that really caught my attention was Torna Casa, which we talked about earlier, because the basic meaning of the song is, again, it's a song about Marlena. It's about the desire for love and companionship. The main chorus of the song is the male figure begging Marlena to come home because he feels so lost and lonely and empty without her. Some of the lyrics, again, just translated to English. I don't want to butcher any more Italian than I already am. So Marlena, come back home. It's starting to get cold here. Marlena, come back home. I don't want to disappear anymore. So it's a very emotional song. And even if you take away the lyrics, the composition of the song and the instrument choices are very, very melancholy and floaty. And there's a sense of longing that's created by the instruments before Damiano even starts singing. So it captivates you. And it's just like, oh, like it's gut-wrenching, but it's so good. Such a good song. One song in English that I love is Close to the Top. There's nothing really too profound about this song. It's kind of a song about self-empowerment and determination and wanting to get far and kind of cutting off people who don't want you to succeed or bring a negative energy to your craft and what you're doing with your life. So I guess it is deep, but the song's very fun. It's upbeat. It's in English, so the lyrics aren't as strong. They, on this album, all of the English songs are very fun because I think it was easier to write in Italian, which makes sense. Of course, you're going to want to write songs that are more profound in your native language. But yeah, that song's just, it's just fun. It's like a dancey, driving in your car kind of fun song. Another slower song, another ballad that has become one of my favorites more recently is Le Parole Lontane, which means the distant words, roughly, in English. And the song mentions Marlena, is about struggling to find the right words to express your emotions to the person you're in love with and kind of losing them through that because you're not able to properly give them what they need verbally. It's very similar to Torna Casa in production and the sense of feeling, the sense of environment of the song when you're listening to it. Again, it's just very captivating and keeps you intrigued and like rooting for the main guy. Like you want him to figure it out and you're just like, you want him to do better. You want him to do better. While this album is very different than the next two Måneskin albums, but I think it's really important to listen to it because it has a lot of similar qualities, just a different presentation. This album really showcases their writing ability, the style of writing they do. And it also is cool to listen to the English songs because their writing in English has gotten so much better. Very much is foundational. And it also is kind of, because it's pop, it's more universal than some of the music they make. So it's always fun. Next episode, we're kind of going to skip around a bit. We're going to talk about 2019 a little bit, beginning of 2020, but we're really going to focus on the creation of their third studio album, Teatro d'Era, Volume 1, which we'll make our focus more on late 2020, early 2021. And this album's really special to me, so this will be a lot of fun for me to do. So stay tuned. All right, bye.